Hey everyone, this is Russell Brunson, and I got a kind of special episode of the Marketing Secrets podcast today. It'll be a little different than the normal, but I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. We recently wanted to start kind of our play to kind of build up our Instagram following and have unique content there that's not offered anywhere else, so we can get more people onto that platform. And so we launched a new show called the Drop the Mic Show, and basically what happens is that people go to Instagram, they submit videos asking questions. We pick the top 10 videos, and then I respond to those on Instagram Live, and then each time we answer a question, I drop a mic. It's kind of a fun little thing, and then whoever asks the best question each week, then we actually ship them out a drop mic. So yesterday was the first show. I thought it was going to be 15, 20 minutes long, and it'd be almost an hour, 55 minutes or so, and there was some really, really, really cool stuff that came out of it, and there were a lot of people asking how in the world they could listen to this again, and so I decided I'm just going to put the recordings of that Drop the Mic Show here, and there's 10 questions. We go into everything from, you know, non-profits, how to scale non-profits, to what are you doing when one of your funnels flops, to a whole bunch of stuff in between, and so I think you guys are going to like it. So that's the game plan. You will hear the, instead of hearing the normal Marketing Secrets intro here in a second, you are going to hear the intro from the new Drop the Mic Show. And so with that said, please come over to Instagram, come follow me. Just go to Instagram and look up Russell Brunson, follow me there. And then, and there's info and stuff on how to submit your questions for the show in my bio. And so, that's kind of the game plan. So with that said, I'm going to cut over to the show. You'll hear me kind of do my little intro, and then we'll go right into the Drop the Mic Show intro, and then you get the 10 questions. Hope you enjoy this, and if you like these, let us know, and we can keep adding these in each week as we do the Drop the Mic Show. Thanks, everybody, and I'll talk soon. My name is Russell Brunson, and I'm on a journey to help entrepreneurs get unstuck so that they can get back to changing the world. In the past 10 years, I've built a following of over a million entrepreneurs like you, sold hundreds of thousands of copies of my books, popularized the concept of sales funnels, and co-founded a software company called ClickFunnels that helps tens of thousands of entrepreneurs to quickly get their message out to the marketplace. If you've got questions, I've got answers. Here's how it works. Step number one, go to Instagram and create a video asking me your number one question. Step number two, tag me at Russell Brunson so that I can see your question. Step number three, use hashtag AskRussellAnything so my team is notified. And then each week, I'll pick the top 10 questions and answer them on Instagram Live. After each question, I'll drop the mic. But for the best question each week, we'll ship you out your own drop mic. Now make sure you follow me on Instagram to see if I answer your questions live. Ask me your questions so that you can get unstuck and get back to changing the world. What's up, everybody? I'm officially live right now. And check this out. I'm going to try to make the same face as I am in this picture. And yeah. Look, I look good. Okay. Anyway, welcome everybody. We're going to hang out for a few minutes while everybody is jumping on here on Instagram Live. I'm really excited because today is the first ever inaugural episode. I would say issue, but it's not an issue. An episode of the Drop the Mic Show. And we've got a lot of fun about to happen to you guys. And this is check out the graphic that Jake did behind me. Sweet. That was him right here. Yeah. And, this is a pop quiz for everybody who's paying attention and watching right now, because that's obviously my blue face, but can you tell whose hand that is? This is, in fact, anyone who gets this wins a free one-day consult with me if you can guess it in the next, like, 10 seconds. Whoa. We just told someone $100,000 for that, and they said yes. So it's $100,000 bonus if anyone guesses in the next 10 seconds. Whose hand is this in the image? 9, 8. Some said Blue Man Group. Oh. Nope. 5, 4, 3. Nope, not Tony. 2, 1. Okay, that's close. That is actually Walter White's hand, Bryan Cranston. So there you go. We had to morph it in there to make it happen. So this is the Drop the Mic Show. We got a bunch of you guys here. So just really quick background. Earlier this week, we had an idea. Like, how fun would it be to use it? Like, right now, we haven't been doing a lot of cool stuff on Instagram. We thought we should. So we're doing Instagram Live now once a week. We're going to ask any question you have. We call it the Drop the Mic Show. The way this game is played is you ask me a question on video. In fact, over the last 3 days, we've had 22 questions come in. This is my panel of marketing geniuses here who have been going through and
pulling these questions out. So they pick the top 10 favorite questions. I'm going to answer all those questions, and when it's over, each question I will answer, then we will drop the mic. That is officially means your question has been answered. And then at the end of it, these four, this is the panel of judges right now. First, you were experts, now you're judges. Sorry. Well, they're geniuses. So they're going to vote on who's got the best question. The best question, we were going to ship you out your very own. Drop mic. Yes, I bought everyone in store, so now we have them all. So do you want to drop mic? The only way to get is on the Drop the Mic show, which is happening right now. So that's how it plays. So if you guys want me to answer your question next week, this is how it works. Follow the instructions on the video. Go submit the thing, and then next week when we do this, we'll pull the questions, and we'll answer them the same way. But biggest suggestion from the questions we got in here, if you do like a, I guess it's even with a minute limit, Instagram's got a minute limit. Some of you guys still just like talk forever and then they're very like, oh, here's my question. Like, just say your name, ask the question, and we can get to business. Okay. So with that said, where did that come from?
I have all these t-shirts right there. All these t-shirts
I know. This has been YouTube week. We've had YouTube guys in town all week, so I'm speaking anyway. Okay. So first question. All right, here's our first guest. Here we go. What's the name we got here?
Jill.
So this is Jill.
Sorry, Leslie.
This is Leslie. Okay, Leslie's got question number one. First off, Leslie, congratulations. You got question number one. And we're going to play this here so you can kind of see it. And let's see what the question is.
Hi, Russell. Here's my question for you. How can my teenager become financially independent this summer using ClickFunnels, even if he doesn't have a product of his own? He says he's ready to start this week by selling Reflex Racing handguards invented by his stepdad. We're looking forward to you answering this question so we can drop the mic.
Oh, she wants to drop the mic. All right, it's a good question. So I'll recap the questions. The question was, how can my kids, right, who are 15 years old, what can they do to make money in ClickFunnels this summer so that they can have some money and they can drop the mic? Did I get that right? So how can a teenager basically make money with ClickFunnels? So great question. Now, I have not pre-read these questions either because I wanted to be able to do this on the fly because it's more fun that way. So a couple of things. She said, what did she say they had? They had something, some products.
Handlebar reflectors.
Handle reflector. So there's two kind of ways to do it. Number one, if that's what you want to sell, then you can go and create a funnel. But number two, like, especially for like teenagers, something that might be a lot faster to do, that I would do is, first off, is I'd get them to go inside of ClickFunnels and learn it, become good at the editor and actually making pages and understanding funnel hacking and just geeking out on that, okay? I've got five kids, as many of you guys know. My oldest twins are 11, almost 12, and both of them know how to play in ClickFunnels, how to move things around, how to add images and things like that. And so what I would do is I would have them build a little tiny funnel for themselves, so their own little business that teaches, that basically talks about how they built this funnel and their skills and what they're learning and stuff like that. And then what I would do is I would go around to like my local area. I'd try to find like a strip mall or try to find something where there's a couple little businesses, something fun like that, and have them go in and say, and basically knock on the door. Because I don't know about you, but if there's a kid that comes to my door cold calling and he's like, hey, I'm 15 years old and I want to talk to the owner, most entrepreneurs are going to be like fired up by that, and I would let him come in. And if he came to me and said, look, I built my very first funnel, this is what it is, and it'd be something simple. You could even make it, actually we're calling these inside the office, call them hero funnels, where hero funnels basically it's like you, your picture, your social media, your like links to all your stuff, right? And so have them make their own hero funnels and then go to these business owners and say, you need a hero funnel. Right now you got this website but it doesn't do much. You need a hero funnel, and you know, I can build the hero funnel for you for free, and if you like it at the end, then I only charge $500, but let me build it first and see if you even like it. And then I would go and I'd build a hero funnel. I walk around their office, I get my camera out, take pictures of their staff and their people and like little things like that. Set them up on Twitter, on Instagram, a couple of places, link to those things, and then create that hero funnel with them and experience the whole thing in the office. And I promise you, as a young entrepreneur, if you're in an office of business owners and people and you go through all the work and you do the thing and you put it afterwards, most people will give you at least the $500 you ask, and a lot of people give a lot more just because they think you're awesome, and that is a true thing. So that'd be what I would do really quickly if I was a 15-year-old and wanted to make some money this summer. And there you go. That's question number one. Is that good, you guys?
Awesome.
Can I drop the mic?
Yeah.
Drop the mic.
All right, we're going to drop it. Oh! It has been dropped.
First
mic has been dropped. All right. You guys missed the flip. Oh, I flipped it better when I wasn't looking. Okay, number two. All right, what do we got number two?
All right, this is from Social Smart Penguin, and he's asking, how do I know if there's a market for my course idea? I want to teach fundraising for missionaries and small nonprofits. How do I know if there's a market for my course idea?
Okay, what's his name again?
Social Smart Penguin.
All right, so Social Smart Penguin asked, he wants to create a course, and he wants to know ahead of time, like, how do I know if this course is actually going to make money, right?
That's it.
And so that's one question. Then the second question was, his course was actually, what was it actually for?
Fundraising for missionaries.
Fundraising for missionaries and small nonprofits. Okay, so a couple things. Number one, the best way to find out if your idea is going to work is go into a market and make sure somebody is selling something similar already. Okay, we are in a marketplace that is not brand new. It's mature. There are few markets that are untapped, and usually the untapped ones are because there's no money, and so people stop trying to tap into them. So for you, you got to understand that is if I can find somebody selling something similar, not the same product. If you've read the Expert Seekers book, you know the difference between red ocean and blue ocean. Like, you still need to create your own blue ocean, but are there red oceans right now selling something similar? Like, if there's not a red ocean anywhere, it means the fish and the shark have disappeared, right? So I need to make sure I can find a red ocean, and I try to create my own blue ocean inside of it. That's number one. Number two, I always tell people, like, you need to make sure you hit a market that has two things. Number one, they have to be willing to give money, okay? So they're willing to do it. Number two, they have to be able. So willing and able, two things. So willing means I would love to give you money, okay? Does that market like to give people money? Do nonprofits like to give people money for education?
Yeah.
Do they?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Let's find that out.
I'm not sure. My guess is that most nonprofits keep their profits. Is that right? So I don't think that they're willing. They're not too willing to spend money, especially in for profits. That'd be my one concern. Number two is, are they able? If they're a broke nonprofit and you're trying to get to help them to raise money, they're probably not able either. So I would be concerned about that. But you could take those same skills and you could go and you could create something for a business that is in profit, make some money, and then give money to that nonprofit. I know we had a couple of questions about VC, like, or not VC, but about nonprofits. Like, anyway, we'll answer those when we get there. But the biggest thing is just like, a lot of times, like, I do charity work and I give money to different organizations and things like that because I love them, I care about them, I serve people for free. I do a lot of stuff like that because I love it and I care about the market, not so much because I want to make it in business. I want to make a business, I want to find a hot market. Okay, what's the three-step form if you read Expert Secrets? Find a hot market, ask them what they want, and give it to them. So that's what I'm looking for, and then I can donate the money I make, parts of it, or I can serve, give time, things like that, to charities. And also, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I think it is. If you do charity work for people, a lot of times that can be a tax write-off. Like, let's say you normally charge $10,000 an hour for consulting. You can go and you can work for free for a charity, and then they can actually write it off, and you get that as a thing, I believe. Is that true?
Russ is not an accountant or an attorney.
I'm not an accountant or attorney. Don't trust me. This is not legal nor financial advice. But if you're wondering, that's kind of it, right? So does that work? Is that good, guys? Can I drop the mic? Can I drop it?
Two.
All right, so we actually had a drop mic. Oh, this might. Anyway, I broke my first drop mic when we were filming the intro video. I think this might just broke too. Someone want to fix the drop mic while I'm... I only got one hand. The other hand's on the camera. All right, so there's question number two. All right, these are good questions, you guys. Okay, don't forget, if you want your question answered, make a video on Instagram and tag us, at Russell Brunson, and then hashtag AskRussellAnything, and then we will see it and get the top 10 questions. We're going to come back and answer next week. All right, question number three.
Yep, so Heather asks, how did you stay sane throughout your entrepreneurial journey, and how did you fight burnout and keep your wife happy?
All right. What's your definition of sanity? And all right, so Heather asked, and this is a great question. So Heather asked,
how did you stay sane throughout your entrepreneurial journey?
How did you stay sane during your entrepreneurial journey, and?
And how did you fight burnout and keep your
and fight
wife
burnout,
happy?
Keep her happy. Okay, first off, if you're an entrepreneur, by definition of the term, you are not going to be completely sane. Because, like, it's one of those things, like, if you, especially after you've gone through it, like, if you would have known what you had to go through to be successful an entrepreneur before, you probably wouldn't have done it. Like, to be completely honest, like, it's not like all sunshines and roses. It's more like walking into a boxing match and getting your face pounded in for a long time. So if you're in it, and I did a whole podcast on yesterday, actually, if you listen to Marketing Seekers podcast, I did an episode that said the number one way that I know if you're going to be successful or not, it has to do with what your motivation is, 100%. So if your goal, becoming an entrepreneur, is like, I want to make money, almost 100% of the time, you will fail this game. Actually, probably 100%. If you come in and your goal is like, I want to help something or serve something or whatever it is, right? Like, if you're fired about something, that gives you the motivation to actually stick through the pain. Because you get beat up every single day. I saw Caleb Maddox just jumped on here. Like, Caleb knows, like, Caleb gets beat up on Facebook, on comments. Like, I get beat up. Like, it's a brutal thing. So you have to be so obsessed and passionate about the person you are serving that all that stuff just goes away. That's number one. Number two, burnout. Burnout is a huge thing, especially when you're first trying to build something, because it's not like... people always ask me, like, Russell, how do you keep your life so balanced? I'm like, are you kidding me? Okay, nothing good in life happens because you're balanced. I want you guys to understand this, okay? Like, when you met your spouse or potential spouse, or someday you will, like, when I met my wife, my life was not balanced. Like, 100% of my attention went to my wife and everything else struggled. I kept doing wrestling, but school completely just dropped off. But like anything, you have to, like, you have to learn how to unbalance your life for a period of time to get greatness in anything, right? When I was wrestling, my life came completely unbalanced towards wrestling, so I could focus on it, so I could master it, so I could become that person, and everything else had to suffer, and then it came back. Happened in my relationships, everything. Same thing happened in business. Like, there was a time where your life comes extremely unbalanced, and you got to be okay with that. And then it's going to snap back. If you're trying to keep a balanced life, it's not going to be okay. So there's going to be burnout. But just understand that burnout's happening. Like, when it starts burning out, that's when you need to snap back and come back into these other things as well. Because if it's I had a someone I look up to, and I remember he was doing a presentation one time, and he held up this, he held a rubber band. Do we have a rubber band? And it doesn't matter if you're not, it's fine. Everyone's like running around rubber band. And he's like, look at a rubber band. Like, he's like, it's really interesting. Like, if you just hold it like a floppy like this, it doesn't do anything. It's just useless, right? And it's like, oh, and some people, like, honestly, it's their life. Like, they're just there, and it's kind of like they're useless. But rubber bands are meant to be stretched. And if you stretch them, then they can hold things together. Like, they're useful when they're stretched, right? But if you stretch it too far, what happens? Boom, snaps. So you have to understand and start learning yourself. You have to understand, like, if I don't know anything, I'm useless. But I need to be stretched to be useful. But if I stretch too far, I'm going to break. So for me, it's like I get unbalanced to be able to accomplish something great. But then before I snap, I have to come back and, like, get back into normalcy. So that's a big thing. And then the third part of this question was about the spouse. Number one is I'm a huge believer in you can only be as successful as your spouse will allow you to be. So if you haven't picked a spouse yet, pick the right spouse. That's number one. Number two, if your spouse is not into this whole thing, then I would recommend sticking with your spouse, not this thing. I guess probably counter to what a lot of people say, but there's a quote from David O. McKay. He said that no success can compensate for failure in the home. And that's true. So, like, if your spouse isn't on board, it's going to be hard for you to really succeed in this business. And so a lot of times it's better to not and just get back to, like, what's going to make you guys both happy, because that's much more important than all this crazy stuff we're doing. Number three, if your spouse is on board, it's still going to be hard. So what I found, this is my personal thing, if I tell my wife in like 15 minutes, like, hey, hon, in 15 minutes from now, or like if I call her like at 5 o'clock, like, hey, I'm going to be pulling an all-nighter tonight, guess what happens? She is pissed for a long time. But if I tell her 3 days early, like, hey, on Thursday night, we got to stay late. Is it cool if I pull an all-nighter? She'll be like, oh, sure. So for me, it's like all about setting expectations way ahead of time. And so, like, if I'm like, hey, tomorrow night I'm going to fly out to whatever, and like I just want to take off and do something, super bad, horrible idea. If I just, like, if I tell her, like, in advance, like, hey, 2 weeks from now I got this thing, then she's okay with it. She can prepare herself for it. That's been big for me. The other secret, I probably shouldn't share this on camera in case my wife hears. You guys want it?
Yeah.
This will let me spike the mic if I give this one. Okay, for any of you guys who travel as entrepreneurs, you will find this. This is, like, the good stuff, okay? If you guys like this one, you have to share the show when it's live because it's important. All right. So as an entrepreneur, when you travel, this is what you do. You'll be traveling and it'll be so much fun. You'll be hanging out with people. You'll be in seminars, events, and you'll be taking pictures of yourself smiling and eating good food and hanging out with people. And you'll send it back to your spouse who's home with your kids, stressed out. They're drooling and on and puking all night. Like, stuff that happens as a parent, right? And they're seeing you having fun. And guess what? They will resent you. Like, it's just, it happens. I've seen, it's not just to me, I've seen it happen with most of the people I travel with in this business. The secret I found is one time I was on a trip and I was miserable, and when I messaged my wife, I talked about how miserable I was, and then she was so sympathetic when I came home, it was way better. So when I travel, guess what I don't send pictures back of? The fun. Guess what I do? The stuff that's hard, and that way it, anyway, it's a secret. Don't tell my wife that. But I promise you this, it works. All right, you guys good with that? That answer the question? All of them? All right. I don't want to spike it though. These things. Anyway, I'm going to drop it though. Nice. All right, there's number. That was three, right?
Yeah.
Number three. Okay.
Melanie's up.
Has anyone picked Dave Asks?
No.
Okay, so Dave asks, how do I build a funnel for a cabinet hardware company where people tend to buy once and be done? Do I need to change my product or customer base?
Ooh. All right, this is going to be fun. Okay. Dave is asking. I'm going to grab the mic. Dave is asking. This is so fun. It doesn't really work, but it's like, at least I feel like legit. All right. So Dave's asking, how do you build a funnel for a company like a cabinet making country where, like, customers buy cabinets once, not like a billion times? How do you do that? All right. So a couple things I would do. Number one, and I know this because right now my house is being demolished. We're putting in a whole new kitchen. So prior to somebody wanting to demolish and get kitchen, what do they start thinking about? What are any cabinets, any countertops? They start looking for things. So first thing I do is I would make some kind of landing page that was like the top 100 coolest looking cabinets that I was able to find online. And I go to Pinterest and search a bunch of cabinets, and I make a page and have all these things in here. And just make a simple opt-in box. It was like, opt in here to see the 100 coolest cabinets. Okay, I saw this work really successfully in the real estate market. There's a guy locally here who didn't want to sell like $100,000 homes. So he thought, I'm going to make a web page and or a funnel, and basically I'll have someone opt in to be able to get emailed every week the most expensive houses for sale in Boise, right? Smart. Because who are the people that opt in to see the most expensive houses in Boise? Probably the people that got money. So I opted in. I was like, oh, and every week you get like, here's the 8 houses that are on sale for over $1 million. And I see him. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And that dude, I met him. He actually interviewed me on a radio show, and I asked him how the whole thing worked. He's like, yeah, it's cool because I don't have to go out and show houses, $100,000 houses. The only people calling me are people that want million, $2 million, $3 million houses. I'm just emailing them. He's like, I built a list of over 5,000 people here locally in Boise, and every week I email them out the most expensive houses, and I make deals all day long. So I do the same thing with cabinetry. Show them all a bunch of cool stuff. If you're the guy sending those things, then they're going to be the ones that reach out to you. That's number one. Number two funnel I would do is I would do a funnel that's like a high-ticket funnel. I'd find somebody who I did the most amazing job. I would go to their home. I would film like the cabinets and like before and after and just get a really cool like video, and I would show that. So someone can have something like custom cabinets. Click here to see our most recent work, and they come to the page, and there's a video that shows this transformation of a home, like before and the after and all that kind of stuff. And then they down below, like, if you'd like me to come to your house, you know, unfortunately we can't do everybody's because we're really busy, you know, or one-man, two-man shop, which is why this looks so good, and we only do, you know, one a month. But if you're interested in being one of our 12 people this year, one of our 1 month, put your name, email address down below, and let me know. And actually, I wouldn't do just email. I have them actually apply. Like, apply why you think that the years would be the best, because I like, you know, I want ones that we can do dramatic changes. You know, however you want to pitch it to position to get the right client, customer you want. You know, we're looking for higher end homes. We're looking for rehab, whatever it is, the kind of customer you want. I'd position that way, have them apply, and you get applications. Then you're calling them, and instead of you trying to pitch them on like why they need expensive cabinets, you're like, hey, how's it going? So we do one person a month, as you probably saw from the video. We have an opening in June and one in December, and I'm curious, like, why you think you'd be the right person for us to do this for? Because what we do is artists. I mean, you can go find someone for 50 bucks to put in cabinets, but if you want like something amazing, this is, you know, I need to know why you're the right person, because we want to case study this, we want to show it, because we're artists and that's how it works. And guess what? You can pay a lot more. People will pay a lot more for art than they will for anyone else. And then it's a takeaway sale. Now they're pitching you on why you should do cabinets for them, which means they'll spend more, which means everything else gets good. Is that good?
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Am I allowed to drop it? Did I earn it? Yeah. We're dropping the mic. Oh, man. All right. Awesome. This thing is taking a beating today. How many drops per mic are you supposed to actually have? I got literally just broke it again. All right. Maybe we should get down to, we have the purple. Should we get the, okay. We funnel hack Funnel University. If you guys aren't members of Funnel University, by the way, go to funnelu.com and you can get all of our newsletter. Every month we funnel hack two people, but we funnel hacked Purple and Mattress Company last month. So I ordered a mini version of the mattress. And so I'll drop it on this because it's really, really soft. In fact, Dave yesterday, if you've been watching my Instagram stories, he sat on this with an egg and it didn't crack, and they stepped on it and it completely cracked. So we're going to drop the mic on Purple. Let's see. Let's just try it real quick. Oh, much better. Much better. Okay. Much better. All right. Where are we at?
All right. So we have Guy H. Lawrence, and it says, we sell protein blend and have been acquiring customers with the free plus shipping offer. So he knows this stuff a little bit about ClickFunnels. We would like to get our customers onto an auto ship program. At what point should we sell auto ship? Immediately or later?
Cool. What was his name again?
Guy.
Guy. What's up, Guy? All right, guys. So your question is, right now we're selling protein, we're doing free plus shipping. My question is, when should we introduce continuity? Great question. So, two things I would say. Number one, if you watch, if you saw Drew Canole, if you've seen the Organifi funnel we helped him design, when we first designed initially, we just had 1, 3, and 4 bottles. And guess what? Nobody signed up for continuity because it wasn't there. So if you look at their thing, it's interesting. The way they price it, the 1, 3, and 4, but then they also have in, they have basically two buttons. Like this is one is, let's say, you know, $79 a bottle, or if you get on auto ship, it's $59.99 a bottle, whatever it is. So you're making the pricing so that they'd be more on to not do auto ship and just have it there. Same thing, Dave Asprey with Bulletproof, when you buy Bulletproof stuff, same thing. It's like save 15% if you go on subscription. Amazon does it now. So I would just, on the actual page, have that as an option now. People are used to it. It's happening more and more, even in like the mainstream, like in Amazons and things like that. So I would have it there. The second thing, though, is for those who didn't get on continuity, then the next, you know, somewhere else in the funnel, and I wouldn't wait too long. I'd probably wait long enough for them to get it and be consuming it. So maybe 30 days, 45 days later, for those who didn't get on continuity, then I would have a huge, really cool campaign that was basically a video of, I don't even know, I just still got a funny video that like explains the situation they're in, right? So like get a video of you in your house with an empty tub of protein. You're like, oh crap, it's done. And then you're like, How else am I going to get protein? They'd be like, eggs, like they're like cracking eggs, trying to drink those, playing like puking, and then trying to do. And like finally, like five or six funny situations where like they're probably in, right? Like, I'm a big supplement guy. I take like 800 a day, right? So I know that feeling when you're in the supplement cabinet, you open the bottle and it's empty, and you're like, dang it, how am I going to get this, you know, vitamin D? I guess I have to go suntanning or whatever, right? But make a funny thing on it, and then send that video out for 30 days, be like, hey, is this you yet? If not, you know, go watch this video. This is what happens when your first thing runs out. Like, warning, this is what happens when your first bottle runs out. And show that. Show four or five funny little things about what else they'd have to do to get that same thing that they would have gotten if they had your product. And then they'll be like, ha, ha, ha. And then people laugh. It connects them with you, and then they're more likely. And then offer continuity right then at that point. That'd be how I would kind of do it. So, is that fun?
Yeah.
All right. Am I loud?
Mic cushion.
We're dropping the mic, but we got the purple cushion now below. Okay, here we go, guys. And much less damage to the mic. It didn't make the ding now. We need like a sound effect that's like ding. So you guys think I really dropped it. All right. What question? Have we done three? Four? Five?
Four. So this is number five.
All right. We're on question number five. Is Miles queuing it up?
Yep.
Are we watching this one? Or no? Okay. This is who it is?
Yeah. Nice shirt, by the way.
Johnny, what? He's got the same shirt we all have on. We're not Confusionsoft. We've got Confusionsoft and Confusionsoft. It's usually Confusionsoft Fridays.
Yeah.
It's Thursday today. Yeah. So everyone just see, and all of our funnel hackers out there, it's Friday is our Confusionsoft Friday, where everyone in the office wears Confusionsoft shirts. So if you have them, wear them on Friday with us. All right, Miles, you're up.
Yep. So John asks, I do a lot of different things. Should I be focusing on different funnels for each of these businesses, or should I build a massive funnel that takes people through my entire journey of what I do?
Okay. What's his name again?
John.
All right, John, let's talk about this. So this is the pros and cons of us entrepreneurs. In one side, we are superhuman because we can do all sorts of weird crap. Second side is we have such bad ADD that most of the times nothing ever gets done because we're trying to do 30 things at once, right? So this question, I don't know everything, all the info behind your business, so it kind of there's kind of two different directions. Number one is, if you're – you want to read it again so I make sure I got this right?
Yeah. So I do a lot of different things. Should I be focusing on different funnels for each of these businesses, or should I build a massive funnel that takes people through my entire journey of what I do?
Okay, cool. Will you grab the big board right there, the 7 to 8, 8 to 9? Okay. So this is a cool question. So it depends on where you all are currently in your life cycle. So number one is, if you're going through this whole process, what I recommend doing, this is like Gary V 101, is like document the process of you figuring this stuff out. If you don't know, that's what I'm doing all the time. We're documenting between this camera. Like, I'm just documenting the journey to share with people because it's really, really interesting. But with that said, is okay, this is right here. So Two Comical Coaching, those are our coaching members. I talk about everyone. Like, there's three phases. It's gonna be inverted for you guys, huh? Anyway, basically, it's like how to go from zero to a million to 10, 10 to 100 million. There's different things at each point. But the first step, if you're going from zero to $1 million, the whole goal of this step is to figure out what we call the what and the how. What am I actually selling, and how am I selling it? So your question is, I'm doing a whole bunch of things right now. Should I keep doing that? The question is, like, it depends. If you're in that phase and you don't know what to sell or how to sell yet, then yeah, keep doing a bunch of things. The first, man, 7 or 8 years of my business, I was launching this and this, and I was different markets. We had 12 businesses in 12 different markets we launched in a year, which is a horrible idea. Do not do that. But a whole bunch of things like that. So we're all over the place. And then what's interesting is, it's from that, though, by doing it, I was able to figure out like one or two businesses that were like the right ones. Eventually, it was like the one I figured out, like, this is what I wanted to sell, and this is how to sell it. Like, by the how, it's like, is it through a webinar? Is it through a trip? Like, how do, like, what's the messaging? Like, what is what I'm selling, and how am I selling it, right? And so if you're in that phase right now, that's okay to like be doing a couple of things, because you don't know what your actual business is going to be. But as soon as you get one that actually works, this is the definition of how you know it works. Hey, my mic. You know that a business works when you're able to get it to $1 million. In a year. Like, that's it. If your business hasn't gone to $1 million yet in a year, you haven't figured out your what and your how yet. Like, that's what I'm convinced of. As soon as you figure out the what and the how, your business will within 12 months hit $1 million. Like, that's the gospel according to Russell. All right. So then now you got the thing. I figured out what I'm selling, I figured out how I'm selling it. Now I'm at $1 million. Now you transition to phase number two, where you turn the blinders on, you delete every other business, you shut them down, you hide them, you burn them, you sell them, you get rid of them, and you do this thing that's really hard for entrepreneurs. You focus. It's really hard. Now, the good news, it's the F word for entrepreneurs. You focus on one thing, okay? But when you focus, it's kind of fun because there's a way you can be unfocused and focused. So ClickFunnels, when it became my thing, when I figured out the what and the how, I transitioned and I shut off everything else. We sold, killed, deleted, destroyed everything besides ClickFunnels. But then I started focusing on, there's three ways to get people into your business. There's front-end funnels. Okay, let me step back. Jay Abraham taught me this. three ways to grow a company. Number one is getting more customers. Number two, getting them to spend more. And then number three is getting them to buy more often. So I call this acquisition funnels, ascension funnels, and then monetization funnels. So then you're focused on what funnels can I create to get more people into my thing. So for me, ClickFunnels is my thing. I'm creating funnels and things to get people into that thing. So that's my answer. So it depends where you are in your journey right now. First off, document your journey on Instagram or YouTube or whatever you want to do. Pick your platform. And then number two, is everyone laughing at me?
Dave's eyes.
This is where you're going. all right. So the first phase, if you're jumping around, it's okay, but you're doing that knowing that I'm trying to figure out what is my business. As soon as you figure out the what it is and how to sell it, you'll know when you hit it because you've made $1 million within 12 months. Then you transition over to focusing and going deep. So there you go. That good?
Awesome.
All right, there we go. We're dropping the mic, guys. Woo!
Boom.
It's like a bounce mic now instead of the drop mic. Okay, that was number five?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It takes a long time to answer 10 questions. Oh, that's gonna be a lot faster. All right.
We're not doing 22.
Okay, yeah. So we have at Bald Scotty D.
@BaldScottyD.
And he is indeed bald with an awesome beard. What's the one thing in your business that you... what's the one thing in your business that made it just take off? And then follow up to that question is, what's the one thing out of your personal characteristics that makes your business take off?
Okay, cool. So what was the one thing in my business that made it take off?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's two things, and it's what we've talked about. So the two things that you need to, there's so many entrepreneurs I know that are in like the six figure range. That's fine. Like, that's awesome. But it's interesting, like, the difference between six figures and seven figures and seven and eight is not you spending more time working. It's interesting. It's like being strategic about how you're working. And so the first phase for me, again, when I launch any of my businesses or I work with entrepreneurs directly, the first phase is figuring out the what and the how. Like, what are you selling? How are you selling? We have to identify that. And some people get that fast. Some of it takes a long time. It took me a few years to figure out my what and my how. And so, but as soon as you figure that out, then it blows up really, really fast. So you're just like, oh my gosh, I am selling this product and I found out it's converting through webinar, and that's it. Or I'm selling this product, and we're selling on the phones. Or I'm selling this product, and we're, you know, like, you figure out the what and the how, then it's so easy to scale, because then you're just turning the heat up. But for most people, they never figure that out. And so they're hustling and selling a little bit of this, selling a little bit of this, but they're not getting something that's, like, consistent, because they may know what they're selling, they don't know how to sell it. So, like, let's say they're selling this really good product over here, but they don't know how to sell it, so they're, like, trying this, they make a couple sales, they try this, and they're jumping from thing to thing, to platform, you know, it's just like, they never get more than, like, you know, six figures or so, and they're kind of stuck at that spot. It's because you haven't figured out the what and the how. So if you identify that, then boom, it takes off. So that's the one thing. And then number two is the characteristic that makes you successful. There's a lot of important characteristics, but probably the best one is understanding that you don't have all the skills you need to make this work. I am not Superman. I'm only good at like one thing. Luckily, that one thing is getting a whole bunch of really good people together to create something amazing. So like that's, I think, the biggest skill is being very self-aware of, like, I'm really good at jumping on a mic, yelling, and then dropping it, but I can't actually focus for more than 30 seconds or whatever your thing is, right? So I need to find someone to focus. One of my first mentors, Alex Mendoza, he told me, he said, every business needs a starter and a finisher. You got to figure out who you are and then find the other person and partner with them. And it's true. Like, I'm a great starter. I suck at finishing things, okay? Same thing. I'm not technical, so I don't know how to – I need a techie person. Like, and so it's identifying, like, what you're good at and being aware of that and then finding a team of people that you can bring in. And it could be employees, could be partners, could be whatever. Bring in the right people that complement what you do, and then that way you can grow together. And that's probably the most important skill, because everyone's like, if I said it's sales, that's not always true. Like, the best, some companies, like the sales, like, you don't have to be the salesperson, maybe you're someone else, you know. So it's kind of figuring out what you're not and then building the right team. That's the most important, I would say. So, that good?
It's awesome.
Drop the mic. All right. Ooh, is that five?
So many crazy, amazing comments in the chat. People are loving it.
I wish I could see the chat comments very well.
Crazy.
Can we do double taps? Periscope, we could double tap. Can you guys?
You got the heart next to it.
Is it one? You get heart? Can you do just one?
Yep.
Yeah. So you, like, if you guys are having fun, like, heart that thing as fast as you can.
Yeah.
In Periscope, you can do two, so we have them double tap.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if you can do that. They're flying now. Yeah. All right.
All right.
What question are we on?
I don't know. Five, six, seven.
You guys see Napoleon Dynamite, by the way? Everyone's seen it, right? There's an Idaho movie. Anyway, so Napoleon Dynamite, he's working out, and then he comes out, and La Fonda asks him some question about where Kip is, and he's like... Anyway, I always try to drink... Every time I have a water bottle, I always try to drink like Napoleon Lake. This one leaks out the top. This is not Napoleon approved. Millie put a hole in it just to mess me up. All right, where we got? How do you find a good finisher? Submit that question. Maybe next week we'll hit it up. It's a good question. All right.
We got a guy here, Dennis, with a Funnel Hacker t-shirt on. Says, ooh. Dennis asks, can you tell us about a time you launched a funnel you thought was going to kill it, but it actually flopped? What did you learn from that, and what can we learn as newbies from your experience?
What was his name again? Dennis?
Dennis.
All right, Dennis. This is a good question that I'm kind of embarrassed about because it happens way more than you would ever believe. Okay. So Dennis's question was, what do you do when you're all excited about a funnel, you're super pumped up, and you launch it, and then it dies? Number one. Most people, they get an idea for a funnel or a business, and first thing they do, step number one, is they tell everybody they know. I think that's the stupidest thing in the world, to be completely honest. Okay, when you have an idea for a business as an entrepreneur, you should just shut up. Because what unfortunately is true is that the people around your life are not necessarily going to be all in on your new idea. You're going to be so excited and fired up, you tell them what's going to happen. They're going to talk trash and talk and they're like, oh, good job. Good luck with that. Woo. And like, that's what's going to happen over and over and over again. So then when you go out there and you start trying to create this thing, you have so much stress and build up and anticipation. And if it fails, everyone else is like, ha, told you so. And it's horrible. So the other way, like, I never told anybody. In fact, our team, I came out the other day. I was like, we're almost about to ready to launch the app. And they're like, what app? I'm like, oh, I didn't tell you guys about it. We have an app coming out. Like, I've been killing myself on for the last, like, I don't tell people a lot of lines ahead because I don't want that stress and pressure of it not going. So that's number one. Number two. So I'm a wrestler, and I was talking earlier. We've got a guy here doing YouTube training, and he's like, "It's weird. I've seen a lot of successful wrestlers. Why do you think that is?" And I said, "I think the reason why is because in wrestling, like, I would go out there, I step on the mat, like in my singlet, like all nervous and awkward. I go out there, and like I would wrestle somebody, and a lot of times they would beat me, right? And they beat the crap out of me. My dad would film everything, right? So then that night we come home, and I'd be like all sad and depressed, and we'd watch the film." And my dad would watch me. He's like, he got you here. You're reaching your arm here. Look at your elbow went up. Oh, you stepped too fast. Oh, you're out of position. And I was like, And so we take notes of all the things I did wrong. And then we go back to practice the next week and we practice that. And we practice, like, keep practicing. And we'd adust and get better and better. And I go back the next match against the same person, I win. In fact, my junior year, the first match of my junior year, I was going to be a state champ. That was my goal. I went out against Nick Fresquez from Hunter High School. And he took second place in state the year before. And I was like, I'm going to show everyone. I went out there and he beat me. Really good, actually. It was really embarrassing. And I was so depressed. I was like, crap. Like, my whole identity was like, I'm going to be a state champ. I told everyone, this is probably what I learned to stop telling everybody. All summer long, I'm going to be a state champ. Told everybody. And the first match I lost, everyone's like, oh, I thought you were going to be a state champ. I'm like, angry. So, but my dad captured my match with Nick Fresquez, and we watched it every single day for 4 months. That's a long wrestling season. Every single day for 4 months, we watched it, and we drilled it. Watched it, drilled it, watched it, drilled it. And then the state finals, we actually met, me and Nick Fresquez, in the state finals. And what's interesting, he beat me 8-4 in the first match of the season. I ended up beating him 8-4, and the final move in the match that I beat him with was the same move he had done to me. And I'd never seen the move prior, but because I'd practiced every day for 4 months, like, I hit his move on himself and beat him, and it was awesome. So take that, Nick Fresquez. The moral of the story is, now, because, like, I don't freak out when a funnel flops, and it flops often. They flop, and you're like, that sucks. But I didn't tell anyone, so there's no pressure, so I'm like, cool. Guess who knows it flops? Only I did. Because nobody else even knows. Everyone else saw it, and they're like, cool, that looks awesome. And they don't know. But what's cool is I do just like I did in wrestling. After we and you can ask Steven. Steven's here every single day. We launch a funnel, and then what happens?
Honestly, most of the time, the first round, it barely even breaks even. And then we make all these adjustments. We say, hey, it's almost like adult Legos. That's how I was thinking of it. And you take out, like, this one piece. Oh, that's the weakest link. We go fix that and replay it. And then fix that piece and replay it. And it's kind of cool. That's how they work, honestly, so every time.
I always tell people, like, what's the price point thing you're selling? So let's say it's a $1,000 thing you're selling on a webinar. So go and take $1,000, and you're going to just gamble on it. You're going to put it out there and just see, right? Let's say you have a $200 product. Excuse me. You're going to gamble $200. And you're spending $200 and try to make one sale. And if you don't, let's say I'm $1,000. I put $1,000 in. I drive ads for a week. $1,000 disappears. I look at all the metrics and, like, did I make a sale? If I don't make a sale, I'm like, sweet, we broke even. If I don't make a sale, that doesn't matter either way because I got the data now. Then I look at every single page, like, how much did I spend per click? How much did it cost per opt-in? What percentage of my opt-in rate? And I look at all the numbers in the funnel. And then based on that, we make the tweaks and changes. Then I go back and spend another $1,000. I try it again, see if I can break even. If I didn't, okay, do it again, and I do that until we break even or until we're profitable, and then we keep doing that over and over and over again. So those are some of the things, but don't stress out about it. It happens all the time. But guess what? Every time you figure one out, it all compounds, right? Because you get more customers to come in, you learn some more, you understand it, it gets better and better. And you guys want to see something cool? You know the two comic club awards we have for everybody else? So like this is – I'll open the door real quick. I don't want to lose reception. But this is everybody in ClickFunnels that's won a two comic club awards so far.
What?
There's over 100 of them, which is pretty awesome, right? And then in fact here are five more that we just got today. We're making millionaires every single day, but this is not Russell being cocky. Well, maybe a little bit. But who wants to see my two comic club awards? One, two. These are all mine. Three, four, five. Like, those are all mine, right? So what's cool about it is after you get it the first time, then you're like, you learn a lesson. You do the next time, it's better, and it gets better, and it gets better. And like, it's like, I always tell people, it's like pushing a rock up a hill the very first time. And it's like really hard and really stressful. And it gets to the top, and all of a sudden, boom, it starts going, and there's this momentum, and it gets easier and easier and easier. Like, after you get your first two comic club awards, the next like 17 are really easy. So that's, anyway. But don't worry about it flopping. It's going to flop. Just, in fact, Inner Circle members always tell them this. They're about to launch their webinar. They're all stressed out. I'm like, what if it doesn't work? I'm like, it's not going to work. Just bank on that, spend $1,000, and call me next week, and we'll look at the numbers, and we'll start over again. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's going to fail. Don't even worry about it. Ooh. I'm like, tell your mom that. Tell your sister that. Tell everybody it's going to fail. And then they're not going to get that added stress and pressure. And you're not going to message me crying afterwards because you're planning on it failing. Okay? Like, the market's going to tell you. Like, don't get all emotional based on the market. Like, it'll tell you whether you're right or you're wrong. And if you're wrong, then it's not something personal. It's just you don't understand the market. And you just make the tweaks and adjust, and then you go again. So that's how it works. All right. Oh, I need to drop it. All right. Should we drop this thing?
Whoa. Oh, whoa. Oh, it's a double drop.
Whoa.
Look at that.
That bounced like six times. Thank you, Purple. How many is that? I'm getting worried.
Eight,
I think.
Two more.
What time is it? Is it like past my bedtime?
It's almost.
Okay, two more questions. Who's got next one? Melanie?
I have one.
All right.
Body Mind Doc asks, what is the best way to attract donors and donations for our nonprofit cancer treatment center?
Ooh. What's his name again?
It's Body Mind Doc.
Body Mind Doc asks, what's the best way to get what was the word? Awareness or money?
What is the best way to attract donors and donations for our nonprofit cancer treatment center?
Okay, what's the best way to get donors and donations for a nonprofit cancer treatment center? Awesome. Okay, number one, I'm going to talk about the worst way because this is what everybody does. The worst way is to come to people who have money and say, hey, you have money. I would like some. Can I have some? Like, people. Do you not think we get hit up every single day by stuff like that? Okay, that's not a good pitch. You have to, even though it's charity and it's donation, you have to sell something. Okay, people give money because, and like, yes, in a perfect world that we don't live on, so it's not actually ever happening. But in a perfect world, people do things out of like the generosity. Like, I give money because, like, with no strings attached, I just want to give money to serve people. Nobody does that. Unfortunately, I wish we did, but we're not. We're all evil, okay? We don't. We all want something in return, right? So we give money because what? We want to feel good? That's a selfish thing, okay? It's not, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's selfish to that person, okay? We give money because they want something in return. You have to understand as humans, we want something in return for our money. If I'm going to give something money, I want something in return. And I feel guilty saying that because that's like the bag. Like, you're a bad person because you say that. A lot of people might think that, right? But it's true. No one's going to give you money unless you're getting something else in return. Okay, so what are you giving them in return? Oh, you're going to get a sticker that says you donated money to charity. Okay, like that's what people offer all the time. You have to figure out, what do these people actually want? Is it significance? Is it a product? Is it training? Is it certain? Like, what is it that your actual donors want? Because they're not going to admit it, but they want something in return for that. Okay, you have to we can lie about it and act like everyone's like all, you know, cares about philanthropic stuff. There's Batman right here speaking of philanthropic. But the real, like, honestly, the real reason is understanding that people want something in return, okay? And it could be, it's a feeling that they're getting. It could be feeling, could be, whatever that is. So, like, if I'm doing something, I want to create an experience that gives them that feeling, okay? You asking me for money is not going to help. You coming to me and, like, creating an experience helps, okay? So a couple good examples. Like, number one, the first time I ever gave money to charity outside of church donations and things like that was Stu McLaren, World Teacher Aid. And he came to me and we had such close connection and we're business partners. And so I did stuff initially just because, like, I like Stu and he had the thing he was passionate about. And I was like, you know what? Stu's a cool guy. I'm going to help him out. And so I helped a couple times. But what Stu was so smart about, he came back to me after we donated money a couple times. He's like, this is so cool. Like, you're getting money, but like, if you experience this, like, if you experience and you could feel what's happening because of the money you're giving, that'll change everything. And Stu's like, you have to come to Kenya with me. I'm like, I'm not going to Kenya. He's like, you have to come. I'm like, do I have to get shots? He's like, yeah, a lot of them. I'm like, huh. But he convinced me to come to Kenya. I got shots, went to Kenya, and I got there, and like, I saw the kids, and I played with the kids, and I saw where they slept. I saw what they ate. I saw how they lived. I saw their lifestyle. And like, I had such a connection to that and to the people that now we give a lot of money and we do things within our company. Every time someone builds a funnel, we give a dollar to World Teach Aid that's building schools. I went last year. I'm taking a whole crew again this year. Like, I had connection now, and that feeling is what drives me. So for you, let's say it's cancer treatment plans or cancer treatment that you're doing. You have to give that experience to people. Like, I would create some amazing experience where you found people that could be potential donors, and I would bring them somewhere, bring them to a really nice fancy dinner, and bring them to this place where they can network with other people. And it's just something cool to bring them together. And then, like, I would have a bunch of kids who are struggling with cancer be the waitresses and waiters or something where they have this connection of, like, wow, these are the kids that are serving me. Like, how can I help them? Right? Or something like that. Like, create an experience, because that's what gets people to donate. It's not you trying to say, it's going to be a tax write-off and you're helping, like, create the connection first, and then people will give you money, because that's the key. I gave money to Stu because I thought he was a cool guy, but as soon as he created that connection with the cause, then it became my cause too. And that's the key. So I hope that helps. Just any charity, I can't even tell you how many times, like, and it's not just charity, nonprofits are a big thing. I had the wrestling community, like, they always asked me to donate money, and I was just like, dude, create an experience. If you said, like, hey, Russell, this is the thing. You wrestle at Boise State. We're going to bring you at the next tournament, the next home match, and have you come down, and, like, we're going to make you an honorary, like, wrestling captain and give you wrestling shirts and singlets and stuff and like, make a big deal and tell people you were a great wrestler for the community. Like, would you like to come to that? I'm like, yeah. It's like, cool. Like, all of our donors can come. You can donate any level you want. And the higher you donate, like, the more prestige you have. Like, whatever. Like, we'll give you a gold medal versus a silver medal. I'm like, well, how much did the guy that's a silver medal give? I'm like, hey, I'll do twice that because I want the gold medal. Right? But now it's like an experience, and I can take my kids there and show pictures. And, like, now it's something cool for me. So I'm always thinking, like, in any business, because nonprofits, charities, it's still a business, right? Like, you're still trying to get money from people. And so take everything out of the equation and think about, like, customer, like, what do they want in exchange for their money? Okay? And, like, that feeling, especially in the charity stuff, is what's the key that drives it. So there you go. Did I hear my mic drop on that one? Oh, here we go.
Stay on the map.
All right. Last one? Who's got the last one? All right, here's the last question.
Bruno asks, how can I use funnels to sell my photography service?
Ooh. So Bruno asks, how do you create funnels to sell his photography service? All right. So I don't know enough about business to know exactly what it is, because it could be like local photography, wedding photography, big photography, event photography. So it doesn't really matter, though. The answer is the same, okay? Like, first off, don't be a generalist. Don't be a photographer that takes pictures of everything, because then, like, you're a person that takes pictures of everything. I specialize in something. I do event photography. I do kid photography, wedding photography, back to school picture photography. Something. Pick something where you're like, that's your thing. And then that's number one. Number two, go get a whole bunch of really cool pictures done. But then don't just take the pictures. Bring a video camera and capture the experience of the taking the pictures. Again, it's a feeling that people are connecting with, right? The reason why they're going to give you three times as much money as they'll give the next photographer, because both of you guys have the same camera. So why then give you more than someone else? Number one, I want to know you're a specialist and what is it I'm actually looking for. Number two is I want to create an experience. Okay, because I don't know about you, but getting pictures sucks, especially when you have five kids like I do. You had to do hair and you had to comb their clothes and they're all angry and it's hot and they're tired. Like, it's a bad experience. Like, it honestly, like, in fact, I feel bad. My two-year-old, we haven't got family pictures since she's been born. And it was like 2 years, it's been 4 years since we had family pictures, because there's this really negative emotional experience that I've had and my wife's had that have kept us from it. So if I went to a page and they showed the experience of, like, someone coming and picking up my kids in a limo or something, and then coming out and giving flowers, and then, like, this cool thing, and then the photographer's, like, video of him, like, playing with the kids and giving them toys. I'm like, wow, that guy's awesome with kids. It's not going to be me jamming Swedish fish down my kid's mouth to get him to quit crying, which actually is a true story. We literally had to bring a bag of Swedish fish and, like, bribe him, and that only worked for, like, 2 hours, and then, like, the sugar highs made it even worse, and it became really, really bad. But if I saw that and I saw the experience, I'd be like, oh, wow, that was a cool experience. And he's like, yeah, we're three times as much, but, like, it's a really good experience. I'm like, sweet. All right, I'm in. So think about that. Yeah, it's like, create, like, people are craving experience. I was watching Shark Tank the other day, and it was interesting. Cuban was investing in a business that was like a Halloween one where, like, you know, anyway, it was a big experiential thing. And he said the future of entertainment is experiential. He's like, movies and stuff are going to be going down, and experiences are going to be going up. And so I heard that, and it's not just true in business. It's true in, like, or excuse me, it's not just true in like in entertainment, it's true in everything. Like, why do you guys, like, why are you guys funnel hackers? Why do you come to our events? Why do you use our software? Okay, like, I think a big reason, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but we're trying to be entertaining. We're trying to have fun. Like, our events, when you come to our events, it's like a rock concert. It's not like you go to other internet marketing events, like, a bunch of boring dudes on computers, everyone sleeping, and it's just like, and you don't go back. You go once, and that's it, right? You come to ours, you come over and over and over again, because we're creating experiences that you think about, you feel, you have an emotional impact and connection with those things, okay? Why am I doing an Ask Russell Drop the Mic show here on Instagram? I want you to have an emotional connection with me on Instagram, so that every single week you're like, I got to watch the show because Russell connected with me at some level, right? Why do I do Facebook Lives? I want to connect people on Facebook. Why do I do my YouTube video where I literally carry this camera with me everywhere I go, even though my wife's like, quit putting that camera in my face. I'm like, it's not on. Just kidding, it is. Like, why do I do that stuff? Because I want people on Facebook to have emotional connection with me. It's all about experiences, right? I sell, like, I'm a software company, you guys, for crying out loud. I'm a software company. Like, that's the most unemotional product in the world, yet we're making this emotional experience for you guys, which is why you come, why you stick, why you stay, and why you pass and share our stuff, which is the plug for you guys to pass and share my stuff. So there you go. Anyway, so that's it. So I hope that helps. Oh, that was it, right? Did I answer the question?
Fantastic.
All right, we answered the question. I'm dropping the mic. So this is, that was the last one, right?
10.
This is number 10, the last mic drop of the night until we pick our winner. So here we go. We're dropping it.
Boom.
That almost hit my toe. That would have been a horrible, I'm like, ah. All right, so now it's on you guys. So you guys, I need to find out who had our number one question. So this right here, so the way this game works, you guys, for those who missed it, actually, we can go back to this video real quick. I'm going to show you guys the intro video quick so you understand how this game is played, because I want you guys to play again next week with us. Because we're doing the same thing next week. I'm actually going to be on location somewhere else as we do this. But I want you guys to submit videos. We're going to do this again next week. Should we do it next week? All you guys know the date and time. We're going to start to find a consistent time so you guys can plan on it. But we don't know what that is yet. But what's going to happen is, watch this video. Let's give me instructions about how to submit your questions. I've seen like thousands of questions come through here, and I want to ask those questions, but I... there's a process, a method to our madness. So I'm going to watch this real quick, and I'll show you what you're going to win, because someone's about to win this, and we'll announce our winner here in about 10 seconds. So let me show you guys the video quick so you see the process. My name is Russell Brunson, and I'm on a journey to help entrepreneurs get unstuck so that they can get back to changing the world. In the past 10 years, I've built a following of over 1 million entrepreneurs like you, sold hundreds of thousands of copies of my books, popularized the concept of sales funnels, and co-founded a software company called ClickFunnels that helps tens of thousands of entrepreneurs to quickly get their message out to the marketplace. If you've got questions, I've got answers. Here's how it works. Step number one, go to Instagram and create a video asking me your number one question. Step number two, tag me at Russell Brunson so that I can see your question. Step number three, use hashtag AskRussellAnything so my team is notified. And then each week, I'll pick the top 10 questions and answer them on Instagram live. After each question, I'll drop the mic. But for the best question each week, we'll ship you out your own drop mic. Now make sure you follow me on Instagram to see if I answer your questions live. Ask me your questions so that you can get unstuck and get back to changing the world. Boom. All right, so that's how this game is played, you guys. So we had 10 questions. We had 22 people submit questions. 10 got picked for today's show. If you have questions, go submit them right now. Again, do at Russell Brunson and hashtag Ask Russell Anything, so we'll see them. We'll answer them next week on the show. And these guys over here, our amazing panel, has been going through and picking our winners of today. So who wants to announce the winner
right
of our very first drop mic? So here it is. This is what you're winning. In fact, the drop mic's in these awesome boxes. We'll close it down. We'll ship this one out to you. It's pretty sweet. So, Dave, who is the winner of our first ever Drop Mic Challenge?
Dennis! Oh.
Dennis! Woo! Yay, Dennis! What did Dennis ask again? Oh, about the funnel flopping. So, Dennis, thank you for asking about funnel flopping. I hope I answered your question. If you want to DM me your address, we will ship you out your drop mic. Appreciate you submitting your question. And everyone who hung out today, this was really, really fun. We'll see you guys next week at the same – no, I don't know, same time, same place. I'll tell you when the time is happening, but we'll do this again next week. Guys, please jump on these things. Have some fun with us. It's a lot of fun. And see if I answer your question. Thanks, everybody. Woo! We'll see you guys all again soon. Bye. Want more marketing secrets? If so, then go get your copies of my two best-selling books. Book number one is called Expert Secrets, and you can get a free copy at expertsecrets.com. And book number two is called .com Secrets, and you can get your free copy at .comsecrets.com. Inside these two books, you'll find my top 35 secrets that we've used to become the fastest-growing non-VC-backed SaaS startup company in the world.